This is Mythical.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey, Nicole, you know the song Heaven is a Place on Earth by Belinda Carlisle?
I sure do.
Do you know that it was originally written about the Sizzler salad bar?
I did.
Oh, well, this is
a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And today we are going to talk about the official Belinda Carlisle fan club that we have started.
You know what's the best Belinda Carlisle song? Circle in the Sand.
Actually, I had to Google who sang Heaven
really?
Is a Place on Earth.
Weak sauce.
I'm a fake fan.
I love Belinda Carlisle.
Wait, name other of her songs. Do I know her other songs?
I don't know. If you're part of the membership, you should know at least 4. She had a lot of great songs, but Circle in the Sand is my personal
favorite. I'll study
it,
but she's alive, Belinda Carlisle.
God bless.
Anywho, today we are talking about buffets. We are talking about our worst buffet experiences because as much as I love buffets, I think
we've had some bad experiences.
They truly are heaven on earth.
I've had so many bad experiences.
Yeah, I mean, it's rife for fantastic experiences.
Yeah,
which
no
I'm sure
doubt. Yeah, of course. No duh.
But also the fact that you have such a high ceiling on great experiences means you have such a low ceiling on terrible experiences.
Very true. Now
that nature's healing, Nicole, you know, people getting back into the swing of things after COVID because it took buffets completely away from us. You go to the Newtown Chinese Buffet in Burbank, greatest buffet to ever exist.
But see, I'm not a buffet frequenter. Is that a word? I don't frequent buffets often. But when I do, it's like a big deal. Like it's a big deal for me to be at a buffet.
Okay, what's your buffet strategy? Because I think people should know some of the groundwork before we get into it.
Well, the first thing you have to do whenever you get to any buffet is you need to scope out the scene.
Take a lap.
Take a lap.
Take a lap.
Number one, take a lap. Take a look at what's good, what's getting replaced the most.
Yes.
Take a look at what people are flocking towards. And just, you know, feel out the crowd, number one. Number two,
feel out the crowd as if you're like, all right, I know there's an old lady at the crab legs.
Yeah.
And I can elbow her to the side.
I mean, kind of.
Yeah, a little bit. I feel that.
And then number two, you have to always go for high quality proteins first.
Yes.
So you want to go for the seafood, typically.
Because that's how you win.
Yeah.
That's how you win the buffet.
You got to go for the peel and eat shrimp. You have to go for the crab legs and you have to go for the steak or the carving section.
Yeah.
Because there's typically a carving section if you're at a real, real good buffet.
Yeah, but not if it's like a ham. It's got to be like a fresh
beef. No, it's got to be a side of beef and a turkey.
Yeah, correct.
And then number three, then after you get all of your premium meats, you want to start getting the veggies. The veggies are very important because you can't...
But bold move to eat vegetables at a buffet.
You have to. Because the name of the game is quantity. You want to be able to fill up on all the things you need to fill up on. Does that make sense? Because you can get bread from anywhere. You can get pasta from anywhere. I do absolutely adore the bread baskets that they do offer. And I do love
the bread baskets are how they win, Nicole.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly
what I'm saying. It's a war of attrition against the buffet.
I'm literally telling you what I do. Can I finish
my
war of attrition?
I'm sorry.
Okay, so once I get some nice patty pan squash and baby carrots.
I will just spit take my water from patty. What buffet is that patty pan squash?
Who doesn't, dude? Patty pan squash from a buffet is the best patty pan squash you can ever get.
I guess.
Is it worse than bar mitzvah? patty pan squash? No.
Is Do you think people know what patty pan squash
is? It's the yellow pretty scalloped squash that you see at bar mitzvahs. Come on, people.
The little nuggets. Yeah, the bar mitzvah squash.
The bar mitzvah squash are my favorites. And little baby carrots. And then maybe you get a side of spinach if it's not too wilty. And then you go into the Asian section.
Yes.
And then you get the cream cheese and yes. tuna, canned tuna rolls. You know what I'm talking about? They don't do, they're spicy tuna, probably canned.
The Newtown Chinese buffet, yeah. they got a lot of canned tuna in the rolls. They will have some fresh raw fish, which people say, Josh, you're insane. This
don't
is next
that,
to a dilapidated Kmart in Burbank.
Yeah, yeah, don't do it, don't do it.
No, I get it. I eat the raw fish.
Unless you're at a really high quality buffet, like if you're at the Wynn, like sure, like you can have their tuna. You can have their like salmon sashimi if you're willing.
I will eat raw fish from anywhere, anytime. Gross. Don't care where it came from. If a Toyota Tacoma, Nicole, pulls up in an alley behind a 7-Eleven and says, we have raw fish.
Shut
I will
up.
Say, how much?
You're wild. And then after that, you have to get bottomless alcohol.
Right. What do you mean after? That's how you get hungrier for the meal. And also, alcohol is a diuretic, so it opens up more room.
I'm not the kind of person who drinks in order to get hungry. I'm the opposite. I drink and I get full. I'm not kidding.
Well, that's why
like,
you gotta
alcohol
drink liquor.
Equal food. No, I drink champagne when I go to a
That's probably the way to go.
You gotta get bottles and bottles and bottles and bottles of champagne, and then you enjoy yourself. And that's how I like to do my buffet experiences.
I'm very similar. I mentioned buffets are about winning because when I grew up, like feeding us via buffet, we would go to the Sizzler and eat the all you can eat salad bar buffet for every birthday. Kids under 11 ate for 99 cents. And
oh,
my
wow,
brother,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, my brother, we would hide him in the bathroom as we paid.
He was 11 till he was like 17.
Correct, Mundo. Yeah, he had his little prepubescent mustache at 15 in the bathroom. And then he'd go sit down. They'd be like, that's a big 11-year-old man. And we'd be like, shut up, we're poor. John, go find the shrimp. They didn't have shrimp at Sizzler. But point is, I've been always taught to like break the bank at a buffet.
Sure,
it's like
yeah.
trying to beat the house at a casino.
That's exactly it, yeah.
Don't fill up on bread.
Never.
Do not drink a single sip of water.
Oh, no, you gotta drink. Well, they always offer you coffee, orange juice, alcohol.
Coffee's good. People say it's an appetite suppressant, but if you fight through that, the coffee will just get you to metabolize the food quicker.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why morning buffets are a really good way to go.
Correct. And I love laying down a base of like 4 to 5 champagnes on an empty stomach.
Yeah, me too.
I was once asked to leave, if we're talking about worst buffet experiences, being asked to leave a buffet in Reno, Nevada drinking 11 mimosas.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think that's BS. It was all you can drink. I had not yet drank all that I could drink. I was trying to push for more, and I wanted to eat as many crab legs.
You should have fought them.
No, they were actually pretty nice about it. It was kind of like an
They were nice when they were kicking you out. There's
they
no
were
kind
of like, hey, you know, you've been here for 3 hours. Like,
oh,
it
they
was
didn't have a cap on it?
Not an explicit one, but apparently an implicit one because...
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can't be at a buffet for too long. And a lot of the buffets I go to, they like have like the rule, like this is your table for X amount of hours. You gotta get up.
My friend Rickards was a little belligerent, and
Rickards?
He was yeah Rickards.
Like
it's a
Ricketts.
Last name, like Ricketts. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like Rickards Island.
Yeah. It shouldn't like I don't want to put him on blast with his employer, but he was respectfully belligerent. I thought we were. Having
I would
a good
love
time.
To meet Rickards just to say his name, Rickards.
All right. So, I was gonna say also, find the old people. Not to elbow them out of the way, but to learn from them.
Uh-huh.
Dude, the old ladies at buffets.
Eggs Florentine.
They're shameless about how many crab legs they will stack on one plate. God. You got to follow the veterans, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're a rookie in the NBA. You go find yourself a veteran mentor. I'm doing that with random old ladies at the buffet.
Me and my dad, we would go to the buffet at the MGM because he was one of those high rollers that had like the card.
Yeah, yeah.
So like me and him, he'd be like, Bubba, let's go to the buffet, crab legs. And then my mom wouldn't eat crab legs at the time. And then I would eat them because I was with my dad and my dad allowed me to. And then he'd be like, don't tell your mom. And it was so fun because
like a kosher perspective?
Yeah. And at that time, like, he's like, this is how you do. And he taught me how to open a crab leg.
Aww.
And like, he taught me how to peel and eat shrimp. And then he'd be like, go get the dessert. Or like, go get this. And I'm like, okay. And it was so much fun for us.
The best child parent bonding happens at like buffets.
Yeah.
It's like that in like a baseball game.
Yeah, maybe if you go to baseball games. Not so much me, but yeah.
All right. Tell me about a buffet horror story.
Okay.
Tell me your worst.
So, I hate to crap on this place, but my mom and I went to a Hokkaido seafood buffet before we went to a movie at the Landmark. Do you know where the Landmark is?
There's a couple of landmarks.
The Landmark.
There's one in Westwood.
The one in Westwood.
Yeah.
So we were going to go watch some sort of weird indie flick or something because we like to do that sometimes, me and my mom. And I was like fresh in culinary school, like not even there for a year, okay? We go to
some people see the word seafood buffet and they run. I'm somebody who flocks to it because stranger.
Yeah, yeah. My mom wanted to try it and I was like, okay, we'll try it. But I heard it's not the best, but we'll try it. We'll try it. So we go there and we, you know, we start out with the sushi and then we start out with the...
Are we talking raw fish sushi or canned tuna sushi?
Canned tuna sushi.
Okay, so it's safe.
And then we get like a little side salad and then we start, you know, we start enjoying ourselves and then... All of a sudden, this wave hits the two of us, and we're like, oh, no. And then we look at each other. I'm like, Mom, do you feel okay? She's like, no, I don't. And then I'm like, me either. Let's get out of here. Let's pay for the bill, and let's go. And then the manager stops us and goes, why are you guys leaving so soon? Like, or did you guys not have a good time? And I'm like, oh, it was great. Thank you so much. And then my mom goes, for some reason, she goes, my daughter, she goes to cooking school. Do you need someone to come help you? And I'm like, Mom, this place is literally giving us active food poisoning. We need to run away.
In an alternate reality, you would have been sauteing calamari.
I would have been the head, I guess, what's the head chef?
Culinary innovation artist?
No, not even. Hokkaido? Not even. No, no, no. I don't even think they offer that. I would have just been the head of the brigade at Hokkaido. So
hell yes,
brigade.
Dude. Hell yes.
Yeah, that place doesn't even exist anymore, the one that I'm talking about. And then for some reason, this guy hands me my card. He looks like the guy from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. You know, the one with
Carl.
The white. He looks like Carl, just with a few more rings on his hands.
You love that.
And he goes, here's my card. Call me when you graduate. I have a job for you. And I'm like, bleh. I'm literally like vomiting in my throat. Like, I need to get the heck out of here. And I'm like, okay, thank you. So me and my mom run. We get movies. We got tickets to the movies. And then, like, I just get violently sick at the movies in the bathroom.
Do you remember what movie it was?
I can't. It was some weird, like, off the beaten path film. I don't
Ex Machina.
No, I didn't watch that with my mom. It was probably some sort of like Persian movie, like some sort of weird subtitled Persian movie. Her mom's like, oh, your cousin invested money in these movies. So, like, something like that. So that was my worst experience because I almost got a job out of it.
Wow.
Yeah. Always be working, always be hustling.
How do you think your life would be different if you were the chef at a Hokkaido seafood buffet?
I would be very unfulfilled.
Well, one, yeah.
I'd smell like calamari every day.
Not bad, though.
Yeah, I hate going home smelling like food. It's one of my most, it's kind of one of those things I've learned to accept, but I hate about myself. Like, I go home smelling like food every day when I should be smelling like flowers or like a freshly done manicure.
No. Those are gendered stereotypes that we don't need to ascribe to. But what I do to combat that, Nicole, I'm very glad you asked, is that I work out in the morning and I cover myself in lifting chalk.
But you don't smell, which sucks.
I know, but the body odor, enough of it covers up the food smell to just create this sort of like neutral man scent. You know?
So musk?
Like, yeah, it's kind of,
you got
it's
a
kind
unique
of a musk.
Musk.
It's a lot of pheromones mixed with like old deep fry oil.
Have you heard of vabbing?
What?
Do you know what vabbing is?
No, what's vabbing?
Google it later.
Oh, I don't want to know what vabbing
is,
Maggie.
Not,
Google
it
vabbing.
It is not works.
Oh, no. What is vabbing? Oh, boy. That's something
people
else, Nicole.
Do this. People do that at the gym.
Speaking of seafood buffets, vabbing. I was going to say, I have also had an incredible experience at the Hokkaido Seafood Buffet, and I know
Why?
You know the story.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because the story, it has been in my Twitter bio that I said, did journalism once, wrote a cookbook once, threw up in the bathroom of a Hokkaido Seafood Buffet once. What are the chances that one seafood chain, about 40 miles apart, this is in Newport Beach, in high school, having like probably one of the first dinners with my stepmom. And I, for whatever reason, I was, you know, big old 270 pound shot put
monster.
This
is when you were a
point.
Big guy?
This is How when I was a big you? Guy. I was like probably 18. No, it would have been 17, like so earlier in my senior year. And I was what was called dirty bulking, which is lifting as much as possible,
eating as much
as possible.
Whatever is in front of you, just inhale like a vacuum.
Oh, and when you're at the Hokkaido seafood buffet, and I don't know why, for whatever reason, maybe it's because I was trying to like talk to my new stepmom. You know, I wasn't like enacting my typical buffet strategy plan.
Okay.
Because all I ate were the Chinese spare ribs, you know, the real red ones that are like,
yeah, that are like char siu, but not really.
Yeah. And they're kind of like leathery, but you love it.
Yeah.
I ate like probably 2 pounds of those, and then probably 3 pounds of Bang Bang shrimp.
Did she make any comment to you or to
your
dad?
Yeah, she was just
time?
Like, oh my God, you can eat so much. That's so cool.
Really?
Yeah, she was obsessed with it. She's, I mean, probably like a 4'10", like literally 80-pound woman. And
damn,
she was like,
man,
big
can...
boy, you can eat.
Yeah.
You know, she was super stoked on it. And so I was like, I'll keep doing it if you like it. You're going to be my new mom. Do I call you mom? It's confusing because I'm an adult almost, you know? Uh-huh. Anywho, and so I did that, and I had driven my own car there. And like, my dad and my stepmom left, and they were like, you're not going to go? And I was like, I got to take care of some business in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
It came at me like, I mean,
isn't that crazy how
a tsunami, like
how
just a
fast
torrent.
It just hits you? I know.
And I do not get foodborne illnesses. Nicole, my stomach is a cast iron, just, it's almost like a, the Hurt Locker, you know, they have the bomb diffusing things.
I never saw Hurt Locker.
Me neither.
But I know what it's about. It's like the locker where you throw the bomb in.
Yeah, yeah, I think, is that what it's about even?
What
I don't know.
What does Hurt Locker even mean?
Why do I make so many movie references for films that I have never seen?
I don't know. I feel like it's a flex that you know the movie exists, but you haven't watched it. And like, you know, maybe like a short
Oscar,
synopsis,
right?
About it.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand why you do it, but nobody knows what a hotler.
That was made in 2008. I thought that was like 2019. Anyway, but you know, they take the bombs and they like put them in the thing and it explodes and suppresses. I feel like that's my stomach for like foodborne illness. It's like if you have extra salmonella, extra E. coli, extra listeria, throw that in me and it'll just go like, and absorb.
Really? Do you think that you are just a human anomaly in that sense, that you just don't get sick from certain things? Like, why do you think that is?
One of my theories is that I do get sick, but I'm so out of tune with how my body feels that I'm always in pain and that I just, like, sports have just conditioned me over years to not notice my own pain and boundaries.
Wow, PSA to not do sports.
But. No, it's great. Sports will toughen you, but it will also deaden you inside.
Yeah, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, yeah, and then you got to take your rage out by listening to deathcore and lifting weights so your hands bleed every morning. But the foodborne illness is unmistakable, Nicole, when it starts literally squirting out of you.
Yeah, yeah. I've been there. You know, I've been there. I've gotten food poisoning so many times.
It's
because I'm also an adventurous eater. You know, I'll eat stuff that other people don't eat. And
I've eaten a lot of questionable oysters. I've eaten oysters from shopping carts.
Yeah, I've eaten some gross stuff before and some questionable stuff. But like, yeah, my body just like sometimes it's just like, nope,
too much.
Sorry,
too much. Slow it down.
Like when I eat a lot of kosher food at a wedding, peace the F out. All my bowels evacuate.
Why kosher food?
I don't know. There's like the meat at galot kosher places. Instant regret. My dad's the same way. I think it's just a genetic thing for me and my dad.
Yeah,
like,
that makes sense.
Our bodies are just like evacuate, must eat before the party.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
And so there I am, Hokkaido Seafood Buffet, probably 9 p.m. on a Tuesday, and I am just...
What time did you guys get there?
I had probably like 6:30, you know, we're trying to meet my stepmom, trying to get to know each other, I'm trying to eat 3 pounds of Bang Bang shrimp, it was a win-win-win. And then I go to the bathroom, and I am like pants around the ankles, just absolutely felt like
sweating.
My body... Oh my God, like I got the cold sweats.
That's the worst.
And my body just like, you know, a sneeze, your body recognizing some particulates are in there, and they're like, gotta get it out.
It was like
my whole body sneezed through my beehole continually over the course of about
you're
7 minutes.
You're like a sea cucumber.
It just comes out like a purge. It was like a siphon purging itself. And then my body was like, that's not enough. Something's still in there. Got to come out the other end.
Oh my God.
And so I am then on the toilet in an emergency situation, trying to lean forward to get past my pants and underwear so I can throw up.
Oh, so you did one of these.
Yeah, I'm like
so you're pooping and vomiting.
Back, pooping and vomiting same time, and of course a lot of the vomit gets on my pants. And I'm just
what
like
kind of
uncontrollable.
Pants are you wearing? Jeans?
Basketball shorts.
Oh,
so they're
I was
absorbent.
Like, okay, that's okay, no, it's better because you can wash basketball shorts.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Okay, see,
do you
if
not
it was...
wash jeans? I wash jeans.
No, people wash. I used to work at Levi's and they told us not to wash jeans.
Oh, yeah.
Fun fact.
Get out
but
of
I
here.
Wash my jeans. You're supposed to put them in the freezer. But it's so much better that you're wearing basketball shorts because that way you can rinse it in the sink.
Yeah, flip-flops too.
You could also rinse those.
No,
this
I know, but it's weird
because
you're getting a lot of vomit on your bare feet when you're driving home.
It's you're supposed to rinse in the bathroom. Why didn't you rinse?
I tried. I was like splashing water all over myself, and there's a bunch of vomit on the ground. I'm like, listen, there's no paper towels.
Did you tell anybody
in the bathroom? No, but I walk outside and like I open it, and you can just see vomit on the ground, and like the janitor is there, and I just go, I'm so sorry, and just run away.
Oh my God, that's bad.
That doesn't count as a nightmare buffet experience. That was a nightmare bathroom experience, but the buffet experience was great.
The bathroom was in the buffet.
You technically had to kind of like walk outside to get there.
Oh, I know.
And that's
I know bathrooms like that. Bathrooms that are like
and
on the side.
Weird.
Yeah.
What are the, do you got any other buffet horror stories? I mostly have great experiences.
The one time I went to the, what was it called? The Newtown Buffet?
Newtown Chinese Buffet in Burbank. I used to bring every new
like
hire
it.
There.
I didn't really like it.
To try and suss them out.
I didn't really like it.
So this buffet, it's the type of Chinese buffet that has one sushi, which, again, most of it is canned tuna, which is still fine.
Which is fine, yeah.
It's basically Korean kimbap at that point.
Which
it's
I just, love.
Me too. Yeah. It's a delicious rice roll. You dip it in soy sauce. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They have green tea ice cream that is like self-serve.
That's good.
And then they have all their litany of orange chicken, General Tso, salt and pepper, mackerel, stuff like that. Mm. And then they have like mac and cheese, pizza, fried chicken, french fries. And it is my single favorite place in the world. It is like $10.99 on weekdays for lunch.
Wow, I don't like it.
I once walked in there. There was a group of Buddhist monks eating there. And I
thought
that was
rad.
Cool.
You take a picture
you know?
With them?
No, that's weird. No, I don't ask to take a picture with them.
I would have taken a picture.
But you don't like that place?
No.
Why not?
It's icky.
It's not icky.
It makes me feel icky after I leave, which is really bad.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's because, you know, you're
you used to take every new, you used to take every new hire there. Why did it take you a year and a half to take me there?
I don't know. I think I was trying to impress you because I took you to like a nice kosher, like a kosher
even
restaurant.
Though I'm not kosher.
Yeah, I don't know. I was still like, Nicole's Jewish. I'm like Jewish. Let's
so
like take her
funny.
To a kosher spot in Toluca Lake and get some shawarma.
One time I went to the Wynn Buffet and I did too much.
Yeah, Vegas buffets.
I love Vegas buffets. My whole childhood was Vegas buffets.
Your whole day, though, because if you're in Vegas, I'm not a big Vegas guy. I'm a big Reno, Nevada guy.
I
want to get
Vegas.
Into Laughlin a little bit.
Oh, cool.
Maybe a little bit of Henderson, Nevada.
I think you need a boat to be in Laughlin.
I'll be a boat person.
Are you a boat guy?
Oh my God, I love drinking on boats.
Oh,
I don't want to like cool. captain a boat, but I love
have
drinking
you ever
on boats.
Like done the thing on the boat? What's it called? You hold on and the
wakeboarding.
Have you ever
no,
done that?
But I like the lying down version of wakeboarding,
which
where
is
you,
boogie
they,
boarding.
No, they just slap you,
sleeping,
throw your ass in an inner tube, and they go hold on to this rope, and you're just getting dragged behind the boat like
oh,
someone
man.
Being drawn on a horse.
Yeah, those are fun. One time, me and my friends did a banana boat in Mexico, and Doris got hit in the eye. Continue. Sorry.
I was gonna say Vegas. Like, if you are there to drink and party and do all that, which if you're going to Vegas and you're around our age, that's what a lot of people go there to do. But I would love to go to Vegas on just a pure food trip where we have nothing. We're not going to a club. We're not going to a pool party. We're not even going to a bar to try and be social. It's like we're here
for
to
food.
Throw the F down.
You know that they do that now. There are special tours in Vegas. You pay a flat fee and they take you to everywhere you want. They take you to all the steakhouses, all the five star, I don't know the star rating, all like the diamond star rated like steakhouses. They take you to all the local places in Vegas. They take you like off the strip and stuff. They take you to like all the buffets. So that exists already. And if you want to do that, there are people, like-minded people like you that want to do that, and you should sign up and go.
Oh man, I want to
yeah,
embed
I follow
with
a
them.
Bunch of
I want to live with
you
them.
Wanna in,
I want to live
in,
that
did you say
lifestyle.
In bed with them?
No, embed like a wartime journalist embeds with the rebel group. I would want to embed. Not I don't
you
want to
bed them.
Although if it's like a nudist group who just goes around to buffets,
you would do
just
nudist
hanging their dangly bits around. I would love
imagine
to do
a buffet at a nudist club.
Okay,
in
no,
Jamaica.
No, no. Okay, so there was this one piece that was written for Lucky Peach magazine a while ago.
Okay.
That was about the buffets they would have at like nudist gatherings and like nudist orgies effectively.
Okay.
And they were like, they would just, you know, people would go into rooms, they'd play together, and then they'd come out and there's a journalist just at the buffet, just like writing down, talking to people, and they're just coming out naked, you know, hanging their dangly bits everywhere, eating chicken wings and mini corn dogs.
Speaking of dangly bits, have you ever gone to a buffet on like a cruise ship?
Oh.
Have you ever gotten sick from that?
Yes.
I did too. I was a kid and I ate a lot of Caesar salad and I threw up Caesar salad and it was like really bad. It was embarrassing.
How do you feel about cruise ship buffets?
Bad. Don't do it. Bring your own prepackaged meals.
Yeah. There was something that Phil Rosenthal, best friend in the world, our new dad said, where he was talking about all-inclusive resorts, but I think cruise ships are the worst version of that,
which is
everything that's included you don't want and everything you want it ain't included.
Yeah.
And imagine that, except you're parked out in the middle of the ocean. I do love cruise. I've gone on a fair amount. We did our 2015 fantasy football draft.
That's fun.
As a bunch of dudes on a cruise.
That's cool.
And we all, you know, smuggled in some bottles of liquor. We were doing the all-you-can-drink option, which was very fun.
You smuggled alcohol, but you still had an all-you-can-drink option?
I'll tell you why. Because they, and I do not advocate for binge drinking.
No,
not at all. But I'm saying if you're a big enough human and you're drinking for long enough, 15 drinks goes by kind of quick.
They also water down their drinks.
I was drinking Mike's Hards. I wanted to see if I could drink 15 Mike's Hards in a day.
One time I had 13 beers and I ended up upside down on a couch and I woke up. It was actually a chair. It was a big green chair.
when you wake up at 8 in the morning to start drinking Mike's Hards because it's college football season. And then, here's the thing.
I'm throwing up.
And then you go to the buffet and you just get as many fried shrimp as you can. Like, to me, that represents a beautiful kind of freedom. You know, it's
so
like,
it's America.
It's America.
Sorry for touching.
No, I love that. You just said it's America and then grabbed my hand like we're going to start saluting the flag.
I did not grab your hand. I gently graced it.
It is America. There are positive and negative freedoms, right? There's freedom to and freedom from. Like, so, you know, we have the freedom to, I don't know, protest and freedom of speech and freedom of religion. But then it's also like, well, you know, some people think you should have the freedom to not wear a seatbelt. You know, some people think you should have the freedom of drinking 15 Mike's Hards out in the open seas and eating as many shrimp as possible.
Waters.
And then you get the diarrhea. You get that little
dysentery?
Bit of the diarrhea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it could have been a lot from that trip.
Yeah.
That was also the trip where I ate shopping cart oysters.
There were oysters in a shopping cart?
We were in Ensenada, and I got a bunch of oysters from a shopping cart. And I don't
think
it was
man
those.
Was pushing a shopping cart.
It was a woman. Ugh. Sexist much? And women
was there
can
ice
sell.
In the was there ice in the shopping cart?
No. Not like a lot.
Why do you make these decisions for yourself?
I don't know, but I also had some really great tostadas there.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that's
I had like manta ray tostadas that were nice.
Soup Plantation / Green Tomatoes.
One, you invoked the name Soup Plantation. How the hell did they get away with putting the name Plantation in a restaurant? What the hell?
I think it's Antation. It's Soup Antation.
Supple Antation?
Yeah.
How the hell? I know it's called Sweet Tomatoes in other parts
I thought
of the
it was
country.
Green Tomatoes. Oops.
It's called Sweet Tomatoes in other parts of the country. And like, who the hell in that company was lobbying for, like, no, we got to keep the name? It's
I don't know.
History.
Maybe it started by someone whose family was a plantation owner. I don't know the details.
Utterly bonkers that society let them get away with that.
But do you like the idea of something like a buffet being so readily available to the American people?
I don't think it's good for society, but I think it's great for me and I love it.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I
hate it.
I talk, well, you like, you think buffets shouldn't exist,
I just
like, ethically,
buffets,
morally?
I think buffets are an excessive, wasteful form of food. And you can have them every once in a while, but like when it's right in front of you, you want to eat it all the time. And you want to eat that tuna tarragon pasta salad. You know what I'm talking about?
I like Jones Broccoli Madness.
Oh, I do like that
one too.
It's
so good. They put the sugar in it.
Yeah, it's just like in your face. And it's like, what are you supposed to do? Like, it's not fair to the average human that's dumb, aka me, and you just want to eat all the time.
Yeah. So for people who don't know how a buffet makes money, there was a really incredible piece. I think it might have been Lucky Peach. PageCon. I think they did a whole buffet issue.
That's cool.
But they talked about the economics of buffets, and it really is as simple as for any schmuck like us who goes, I'm going to try and break the freaking system here and eat as many crab legs as possible, even if it ends in dysentery, there's a three-year-old who's eaten six animal crackers at the paying full price. And so that's how it works.
Yeah, that's right.
But it also does lead to like an utterly insane amount of food waste. But again, I'm not here to moralize. I'm here to tell you how much I love eating fried shrimp that's been steaming in its own juices for 6 hours under a heat lamp, because I really do. One of my favorite times at a buffet was at the Sizzler. I was with my brother. We probably hadn't been there together since we were like children.
Mm-hmm.
And we went maybe 5-6 years ago with my grandma. And I think my grandma had like had a bad day and she was really complaining a lot. And so my brother and I, we got a little bit lit, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then we decided to have a little bit of an Iron Chef competition to see
who
could create the most insane buffet dish.
Okay.
Like I was taking I was taking their artificial crab and I was like trying to make like a vinaigrette. Like from scratch with like lemon juice and olive oil, trying to emulsify
Such
it with mustard at the table.
Childhoods.
And we were like, so and I made like ceviche, the
you
artificial
made
crab.
Fake crab ceviche.
Yeah, well, I tried to make like a campechana.
Okay.
With like the ketchup, like a coctele.
Sure. Okay.
But then I did that. I did the meatball tacos, of course. That was a good
You're
one.
You're so interesting.
I took the bacon bits and I made like a cornbread ice cream sandwich that I rolled in bacon bits.
Did you feed your grandma this?
No, my grandma's like, what the hell is going on?
Who was the competition about?
Just me and my brother. We were trolling my grandma.
And you guys were also judges?
Well, we were just kind of like trying to one-up each other. But we like formalized it. We're like, yo, three courses.
How old?
Who can make the best? John was probably 30 and I was probably 26.
Oh, this wasn't when you were kids?
No.
Oh, this happened like recently.
This is recent, yeah.
Oh.
But that's the beauty of buffets.
Sounded like something like 7 and like 10-year-old would do.
No. This is like, you thought I was trying to emulsify vinaigrette when I was 7 to make campechana?
Honestly, wouldn't go. It's not the furthest thing from reality.
Hello.
Hello.
No, we're trying to like piss off my grandma and she didn't get pissed off.
But you were 26 years old. Why are you pissing off your grandma? She's 100 years old, bro. What are you
she
doing?
Only would have been like 97 at that point.
Why are you pissing off a 9-year-old
listen,
lady?
I don't know. Do you, Nicole, you've known me for like several years. Do you think that I am the most mature person who handles their emotions in the best way possible?
This is incriminating. This is totally incriminating. But Josh, what I'm trying to say is buffets, even though we've had such bad experiences there, would you go again soon?
Oh, I fully believe that life is about riding the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, and it'll take a lot more than me throwing up in my basketball shorts all over my bare feet, and it was a cold rainy day too at the Hokkaido Seafood Buffet in Newport to get me to stop going to buffets. I want to go to the Newtown Chinese Buffet right now, Nicole, and I want to put some orange chicken on top of their spicy tuna and then just drizzle that in sriracha and eat it with a scoop of green tea ice cream.
You can do it, Josh. There's nothing you can't do.
God bless America.
Home that of the I love. Brave. Stand beside her and guide her. That's
to
all
the light from the light from above.
to the mountains. To
Go
the
birds!
Prairies. To the mountains. I already said mountains.
You're about to get your citizenship revoked.
I was born in America.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code ODYSSEY. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, Josh, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling around out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we like to call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
That was good.
Wow. Are you one of the Neville brothers?
Who are they?
You don't know anybody I know.
Who are the Neville brothers?
The singers. The Neville
the
brothers.
The Allman brothers?
No!
The
Neville Brothers!
What do you mean? Who are the Neville? I don't know who the Neville Brothers. Name it. Sing one of their songs.
Okay, they have this part of Family Guy where they're in the sack race, and then one of them has
There's
a microphone.
Five Neville Brothers.
It goes, sack race.
Well, no, I don't know. Josh. I don't know. Nicole, I don't know. I'm trying my best.
Okay.
I just don't know.
Let's start with the first one. Ben _ Codet says, boil hot dogs and use hot dog water to make Kraft mac and cheese. Cut up doggies and nudes.
Yeah, so the technique he's talking about here is creating what's called a flash hot dog stock. Listen, this is based in French cookery. What you're doing is you're taking the hot dogs.
Gross.
And you're getting all, you're extracting, Nicole, you're extracting that flavor.
Yes, Josh.
And then I did this with something and I can't remember what it was. I was boiling hot dogs and then I said, deglaze with hot dog stock. I don't think it was ramen. It couldn't have been a rice dish because what would I have been putting rice
Maybe
on
risotto?
Hot dogs? Don't believe it. I was like cooking at home. It wasn't like for a bit.
Oh. You did this at home?
It was probably chili. I was probably making chili dogs from scratch. I was like, yeah, why not infuse some hot dog stock into the chili?
Ugh, horrific.
So I love this. You're just infusing the flavors. You're building layers of flavor, Nicole. That's what we're taught when we learn to cook. I love this.
That's what we were taught?
You're taught to build layers of flavor, are you not?
We were taught in different schools. You went to the school of hard knocks. I went to a defunct fortress.
And we make hot dog water macaroni, Nicole. The school of hard knocks.
I do like the idea of this, but I don't want to do it. I want someone to do it for me.
Saying cut the dogs into noodles.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
No, cut the dogs in the noodles.
Noodle.
No, of course they wouldn't.
Well, you ever had like squid noodles? It's a really weird technique. It was popular probably like a decade ago.
You mean the hot dogs that look like squids?
No. You make like a farce. Like you blend raw squid meat with like some liquid and maybe a little bit of starch to bind it. And then you like put it on a silpat and you like gently cook it with steam and then you cut it into noodles.
No.
And you make like noodles out of squid. Jean-Georges Vongerichten, classic French trained chef, JGV. Sure. He had a famous dish where he would cut ahi tuna into like fettuccine shape. And then he would, like, make a little twisty thing and dress it, and you'd, like, slurp up ahi, and it kind of was just bad. Like, you'd rather just have, like, a
I like the idea of
sashimi.
That.
But anywho, I like that. At Riker Garrison, ketchup is a perfectly reasonable condiment on tacos.
Breakfast tacos.
Okay, so, this has an interesting cultural lineage. First We Feast once produced a really great documentary on what have become known as black tacos.
Black
which
tacos.
Are tacos. You've heard the phrase white people taco night.
Sure.
Right? If you go to, say, Taco Mel, right? Taco Mel is a black-run taco shop that makes
I've never heard
crispy.
Of it.
You never heard of Taco Mel?
No.
Oh, dude, it's in South LA. And so there's kind of this, like, you know, obviously in LA, black and Latino communities have been around each other for forever. And it, for whatever reason, I believe ketchup on hard shell tacos is a big thing in the black community.
Oh.
I don't know if you identify as black, Riker Garrison, but this is a thing that I have heard and has cultural lineage, which if you look at the origin of taco sauce.
Taco
I'm not
sauce
talking
is
about,
like ketchup.
Taco sauce is basically, it was literally a way in the Taco Bell early days era to try and market tacos to non-Mexican diners. They
look
were like,
that.
Yo, the salsas are too spicy, too acidic, too flavorful for you. We're going to blend it with some ketchup and call it taco sauce.
That's very cool.
And so taco sauce is already halfway to ketchup. Like, why not put ketchup on it? Especially if you're eating the type of tacos with, like, sour cream, yellow cheese, lettuce, tomato, ground beef.
Damn. I haven't
you
had a crunchy
I mean?
Taco like that in a long time. I'm sure ketchup would work fine on something like that, but not on, like, a street taco.
Yeah, no, like I wouldn't put ketchup on like a carne asada taco, but
I had carne asada fries the other day and there was no ketchup on them and I didn't need it.
No, you no. put ketchup. I wouldn't put ketchup on carne asada fries either.
I would.
Really?
If it was offered to me, but it's never been.
It's not salsa roja.
It's never been offered. Ariana Blade says kiwi should be eaten like an apple. Bite right into it with the skin on.
I don't like kiwis in general. They're like probably my bottom. One of my bottom fruits.
I don't mind kiwis. I just don't like the fuzzy bits. Like, I don't need to bite into a, like, a apple.
But you'd eat, like, an apricot, a peach, things
yes.
are fuzzy.
Yeah, I like those things with the skin.
You know, I was eating a peach the other day.
Yeah?
And I had, like, a pretty fuzzy skin. It was a really good peach. I accidentally got white peaches instead of yellow peaches, which white peaches
sucks.
Are inferior. I know.
Ugh.
Ruined my day when I found out I made the mistake. But they were really good white peaches. I was really having a time. Big, like, 12-ounce sons of biscuits, you know what I mean? And then every I cut it, I cut it into slices so I could eat it nice while watching the TV and not get the couch messy.
Okay.
But I was like, man, I'd enjoy this a lot more if the skin wasn't on.
You could peel it.
Yeah, I don't know why. I thought my story had more of a point than that, and it didn't. Didn't at all.
No. I mean, no, kiwis should be cut, and you should remove the center, you know?
Just you remove the center of a kiwi?
I like to eat the center first, the white part. I eat the white part first.
Is it like the filet mignon of the kiwi?
No. It's just for visuals. Huh? It's just I have to eat that part first, get rid of all the whites, and then I go for the seeds, and then I get all of the green parts.
It's a lot of work.
It's yummy. Yeah. I used to have a kiwi knife. I had a spoon on the end.
That's like they market it as a kiwi knife?
Mm-hmm. I loved it.
What happened to it?
It's at my mom's house.
Bro, go get that kiwi spoon.
I know, I'm going to go.
How many other fruits have their own spoons?
Banana.
There's a banana spoon?
I mean, it's a knife or like a cutter.
What do you...
Maggie, Google it.
What's a banana knife?
Look, a banana cutter.
What do you... like a
cutter for bananas, fool.
Okay, yeah, you're talking about the thing. It's like a sheath. It's a bladed
sheath.
You
could put a hot dog in there.
Jeez.
God, you could put a zucchini in there. You could put a carrot.
Ad Velvet Foe says, not sure how controversial liking gefilte fish is, but that's all I got. And that is all you need, Velvet Foe. Because I see you, I am with you. I love gefilte fish. It's wet bread meatloaf. It's wet bread fish loaf.
It's really bad.
Wet bread fish loaf.
If you didn't grow up with it, you're not going to like it.
Do you think that's true?
Yeah.
Well, okay, what about, this isn't like exactly analogous, but you know, you go to a hot pot or something.
Sure.
And you get the like fish balls or fish cake, fish tofu, they'll call it
but
sometimes.
But that's delicious.
Why not gefilte fish?
The texture is off.
Well, it's a little bit softer,
and it's
a little
cold,
bit mushier.
And it's cold.
You can eat gefilte fish hot if you want
I've
to.
I've never had gefilte. Has anyone in this room had gefilte fish hot? Maggie? When? She's lying.
My family has their own recipe, and so we're very proud of it, and it's very good.
Okay.
See?
See?
Wait.
Okay.
Maggie.
Okay, just bring it.
Bring in your family's gefilte fish one day. I'd really like to try it.
I'd love to try it.
I love, and I want to make my own gefilte fish recipe.
Okay, do it.
I want to pass it down to my children.
Okay.
You know, I have a point of pride of gefilte fish. Nicole, it was all they had.
Okay,
it was all they had. They couldn't make anything different.
Okay, one time I thought it was gundi, which is like a Persian meatball, but it was not, and it was gefilte fish, and I was so disappointed.
If you're not ready
so disappointed
for that wet, spongy fish flavor, then you're going to be disappointed. But if your mouth is ready, if your body is willing,
and then with the
gefilte.
With the beet and horseradish on the side, I'm sorry, guys.
Gimme
I'm
all your
sorry,
life.
I'm sorry. Differendez 1 says oregano makes anything savory better.
Oh, hard disagree.
Yeah, I know.
Hard disagree. You know what does? Parsley flakes.
You know what does? MSG.
Okay, MSG too. But because here's the thing, when I was a little baby boy and I was cooking, I'd be like green flex on food.
Yeah.
Green flex on food, make it taste better.
Yes.
And we'd have oregano in it, and I put it on everything. Oregano is a very, very strong flavor.
It's actually soapier than cilantro.
It's soapier than rosemary. Oregano is aggressive. And I like oregano. I love oregano on like a pizza. I would rather oregano with tomato than basil.
Sure, actually. Yeah, I do love, I agree.
And most of the time in Italian cookery, you would never mix fresh basil with oregano because, and I agree with that.
They're two
very competing profiles.
Totally.
And so if you just want green flex on your food because you see food with green flex on it, it tastes better automatically.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how you see if rice is yellow, it tastes better.
I don't agree with that statement.
If meat is tinged red, it tastes better.
I don't agree with those statements.
But green flex, oregano is like incredibly strong. And if you don't want that flavor, parsley flakes have, when you dry parsley, not a lot of flavor. Fresh parsley is pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
Some people say it has no flavor, which is wild to me.
That's weird. Parsley is very, very obvious
parsley's
when it's
aggressive.
In food. Also, you say parsley.
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 Whenever we're cooking in the kitchen, Josh goes, do we have any parsley?
You got any parsley?
No, you don't say parsley. You say, do we have any parsley?
You got any parsley?
No, he goes, do you have any parsley?
Got any parsley? Got any parsley? I say parsley. I don't
you
know.
Do not say parsley. You say parsley.
Ooh, dried chives. Dried chives
dried
are fun.
Dried chives.
Little thing. Like, fresh
ew,
chives
I hate
are great.
I hate dried chives. I like fresh chives.
I like fresh chives too, but fresh chives sometimes they don't sprinkle unless you dry them out. So I'll like cut my. Here's what I
do. What do you do?
So I did this the other day. I knew I wanted chives for garnish. I was making like a pretty short rib thing, so I cut my chives and then I just let them hang out in the fridge to like kind of evaporate, so I could sprinkle them better.
Mm-hmm.
God,
you know what's
I live
the best?
Exciting life.
You know what's better than parsley?
Jesus.
Green onions.
Ah, yum!
I love a smattering of green onions on any plate of food. Give it to me.
All right, at Joshua C. Jones, if I could only eat one cheese for the rest of my life, it would hands down be cotija. Interesting.
Okay, what's yours?
Desert island cheese. You go first. I'm gonna think.
Okay, it's gonna be so controversial. It's gonna be those mini Baybells, the red ones.
Wait, hold on. That's a good pick.
It is? Okay. That's because a good I pick. Can form the wax, and if I eat enough of them, I can make a bow out of the wax. I can get off the desert island. You know, always they be didn't, thinking.
They did not introduce the desert island scenario. They just said for the rest of your life. You said desert island. Okay, I said, but they, yeah, it's
Josh,
like an expression.
Josh, everything this you say, I take very seriously. About, everything. That's like saying,
okay, fine, then I would I get a 1,000-pound Parmesan wheel, and then I would hollow that out, and then I'd float in it as a wrap, Nicole. That's what it would be.
But is it because it's your favorite cheese?
Maybe American. White American.
Yeah, Josh loves white American cheese because it's the only cheese he identifies.
Oh, is there like a white half Jewish American non-practicing cheese?
I think it's the white American.
That's still it. Like you go to a kosher deli and they got like the white cheese. They don't have a name for it. There's like
the kosher deli doesn't have white cheese.
That's how non-Jewish I am. Cheese and rice.
You suck, Josh.
Oh man.
All right, let's see. Desiree 1105 says. Quesadilla is a panini, and a panini is a sandwich. So a quesadilla is a sandwich.
Hold on. Here's the thing that people do with arguments where, so this is like transitive property, right? If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C.
I capital F failed math. I don't remember the properties.
Quesadilla is not a panini.
What is a transitive property? I don't remember.
If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Mm-hmm. Right? But that is under the assumption that A does in fact equal B. Quesadilla is a panini is simply not true in my book. So a panini or a panino in Italian just means sandwich, right? Pan okay. is the word for bread.
Yeah.
Panini is actually a pluralization of panino. In America, we consider a panini to be like a pressed sandwich.
I have a question.
Like a cubano.
I have a question.
What's up?
A panino is individual?
Panino is a single sandwich.
If I slice the sandwich in half, do I have one panino or do I have two panini?
Oh, you have a panino that you've sliced in half.
Okay, but what if I give it to somebody?
Nicole, if you slice a sandwich in half, do you have one sandwich or two sandwiches?
Well, this is back to the lasagna paradox.
God dang it.
If I have one lasagna and I stack it on top of the other one, is it one lasagna or is it two lasagna?
Quesadilla ain't no dang panini.
No, quesadilla is not a sandwich and it's not a panini. Get out of town.
There is an Italian piadini. Or a piadino.
I don't know what that is.
A piadino is an Italian flatbread sandwich, but I believe the dough is still leavened, kind of akin to a pizza dough, but it's called a piadino.
Yeah.
That's closer to a quesadilla, and that may or may not be a sandwich, but panino is literally just the Italian word for sandwich.
A quesadilla is its own thing, and I love quesadillas.
And if you go to El Salvador, a quesadilla is a little cheesecake with sesame seeds on it.
It is a little cheesecake. Mm. Do you know that there is actually quesadillas in Mexico City that are served without cheese?
Yeah, dude, that freaks me out.
Yeah, so I'm scared to go there because what if I make a mistake and then I say, ¿por qué no queso? And then they'll just look at me. And then they'll just look at me. So I refuse to get quesadillas in Mexico City if I ever go there.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when I was in Cabo and tried to order like tacos de papa and they said like, no tacos, solamente papa. And I didn't really hear what they said. And they just like brought out a single, just like a potato.
Potato?
On a plate. And
how yummy like, are those? Were the potatoes like soaked in like red sauce?
No. I'm so sorry. No, Nicole, like a potato naturel.
Cooked?
Just straight potato.
Boiled?
Baked. I think baked in foil, thrown in foil on the grill.
Oh, so you got a baked potato?
I know it was there with vegetarian friends, and I was like, I didn't know they're vegetarian. Ooh. I was already like, okay, you're dragging me out here. I like don't speak Spanish. I know how to say like tres tacos de carne asada con toro, por favor. Yeah. You know, I know how to do that.
Yeah.
And I know cuánto cuesta. You know, I know how to do that. But not like, I'm vegetarian, what do they have? And I'm like, figure it out, I don't give a fudge. Anywho.
Does anyone want me to speak Spanish again? I saw the comments how much you guys liked it. ¿Y tú quieres? ¿Que escucha?
No.
Mi español es... Mi español es así. Yo practicar mucho con last podcast.
Huera loca.
No.
And on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions or like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or @HoneyZada with the hashtag Opinion Casserole. Or, if you want... You can leave us a voicemail because we have a damn phone number. And you can leave us voicemails at that phone number.
We got a landline now.
The phone number
is... It's an old-timey rotary telephone.
Maggie sits by it every day and every night to monitor the call.
Just eating gefilte fish.
The number is 833-DOG-POD-1. That number again is 833-DOG-POD-1.
Nicole, did you say 833-DOG-POD-1?
I did say 833-DOG-POD-1.
And did you tell our listeners that they should call 833-DOG-POD-1?
Please call 833-DOG-POD-1.
Nicole says you should call 833-DOG-POD-1. You should probably call 833-DOG-POD-1. For more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week. We'll see y'all next time.